That's why I see him in my shot. Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him in my shot. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay. We got Charlie. We got you on this Bears Monday. And Shot or No Shot is brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app and Club Hawthorne, the mobile wagering app for horse racing. Good morning, buddy. Secretariat, how you doing? And you can bet the ponies at Club Hawthorne. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys.
How rock and roll
this morning.
Good.
Old bastard still thinks the Secretariat's alive. It's a shame.
I know. Keeps just wishing him good luck with the laminitis and... You know what it is, Hoodie? It's fantasy. We all have fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Allow Cap to have his.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little daydream.
Thank you.
Mine is not what
horses people think
about.
Of supermodels. I think of Secretariat.
Well, Secretariat is more well hung, so I couldn't see why.
All right, get to the questions.
All right, the Bears lost their sixth straight game yesterday, falling to the Packers 28-19, despite having a lead in the final quarter and the ball down 20-19 with 4 minutes left. It's the fourth game in the losing streak that the Bears had the ball with a chance to win in the final minutes, and the third where they had a lead in the fourth quarter. So shot or no shot, the Bears' inability to finish games is a legitimate concern with this coaching staff.
That is a shot. Despite the roster, just not being able to finish games is just right on the list of things that's wrong with this football team. I mean, and if you had enough talent to be able to get it done defensively, if you had enough talent to get into the end zone, the Bears would win yesterday or games like that. But, again, I am concerned about them finishing games. Hopefully with more talent, that'll be getting better, that's for sure.
I don't need the whole question. Just give me the last part so I make sure that I'm clear in my answer.
Or no shot. That was the part that you wanted, right? Or
right.
No shot.
Or no shot.
Yes.
Shot or no shot, the Bears' inability to finish games is a legitimate concern with this coaching staff.
Absolutely no shot. That's just awful. No. Absolutely not.
Three straight shot or no shots. The first question's been called just awful.
Awful. They don't have talent. I mean, come on, EQ Brown, that was horrific, his play in the end zone there on that interception.
Both things can be true. The Bears have not been able to finish games like they should, and they don't have enough talent to be able to get that done. That's all this. It's all encompassing.
Talent, if they don't have talent, how'd they lead the game for 55 minutes?
Because Green Bay's not very good.
Okay, but then why can't you win it? Like, I get they don't have talent, but if you lead the game for 55 minutes, it's suddenly unfair to expect that you can finish that off?
They ran out of gas, man. Look, they have more talent on the other side of the field. It's just a fact.
Yeah,
but that lousy receiver in the end zone, he may be a good guy and a good blocker. He stinks.
Both things can be true. You have to finish off these games.
Agreed, but... with the roster that they have, I do not have that concern.
They should never finish off games with this roster. They should never, when they have the game in the balance, they should lose them all.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's not a concern that it's on the coaching staff for me. It's a talent thing.
You think Eberflus wants to win these games?
Yes.
Okay. Why not finishing the game? Why should that not be a concern if he actually wants to win these games?
Because I don't put it on the coaching staff.
No, I said from his standpoint, why shouldn't he be concerned that the Bears can't finish these games off?
Because he knows what the deal is with his roster. That ball Justin throws should not be intercepted. You put a quality receiver there. I guarantee you, Tommy Waddle, that ball's either caught or knocked down. It's not intercepted. I guarantee. And if you have A.J. Brown or any of these great, big, huge targets, that's not an interception in the end zone.
I do not believe in the blame pie. The blame pie of saying, well, this slice here belongs to the coaching staff, and this slice belongs to the players, and this one, you know, is a blame to the trainer. No, when you lose as a team. They could not finish off games because, as Shay mentioned in the first hour, issues with play calling and also the lack of execution from the players. They should have been able to finish off that game. Talent stopped them from getting that done. Both things can be true.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a huge concern at this point for me on the coaching staff. So
I
say no.
Isn't there a perfect contrast, though, with like the Giants have Daniel Jones, who's not very good, out there throwing to mailmen? They've been able to finish games.
Yeah.
Look at their last handful of games. They haven't been able
to
finish a lot of games.
7-5. I mean, and he's been out there throwing to mailmen for the better part of 12 weeks.
Because they actually have more talent on their roster than we do.
Not by much.
But by a lot, in my opinion.
That's right.
Justin Fields displayed his best evolution yet as a passer yesterday prior to the interceptions and, you know, and the final
two drives. Hold on a second. And as a coach yourself, you'd be pissed off if your team could not finish late in the second half when you had the game in the balance. You've been there before.
Yes.
With or without talent, you expect your team to finish. So this coaching staff shouldn't be concerned, or you shouldn't be concerned? Stop.
Well, the question is about the coaching staff not being able to finish.
As a coach, you would not be happy with that.
I would be disappointed we didn't get it done. But when I step back and take a deep breath and go, all right, I get it. I understand what we're dealing with here.
You'd be disappointed as a grandfather, this cap, that guy with hair, it wouldn't be disappointment.
Yeah, I'd be furious.
Yes.
I get it, but I'm not willing to put concern about the coaching staff there. I'm able to step back and go. Now, if you told me they had the Eagles roster and they keep losing late, yeah, that's a different story. I'd be like, well, what's going on here? That roster? No.
Go ahead.
Justin Fields displayed his best evolution yet as a passer yesterday before the interceptions on those last two drives. He was 20 of 25 for 254 yards. He got over 10 yards per attempt. Rodgers struggled on the other side against a Bears secondary that really had been food for most quarterbacks lately. Rodgers was just 18 of 31. He didn't get to the 200-yard mark. So my question, shot or no shot, despite the loss, Justin Fields actually proved yesterday he's the best quarterback in the division going forward.
That's a shot. That is a shot. That kid is going to be a superstar.
It's Rodgers leaving? Was that sign off yesterday saying this is the end? That little wave at the end?
No.
Because if that's the case, then Fields would be the best right now with the brightest future. Because that's, you know, Goff, Cousins, Love, if Rodgers isn't there.
I don't think Rodgers is going anywhere. Mm-hmm. They owe him $100 million. He's not walking away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe maybe they come in here and beat us next year. Maybe they don't.
Maybe.
But the brightest future. I mean, we've got.
Wait a minute.
We got a lot of cap space and a lot of draft capital and maybe more coming.
But 24 is the goal, you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you ask me the brightest future, yeah, Justin. It's not on the 39-year-old, it's on Justin.
Yeah, I would say that is a shot because of, and again, we talk about the future again, right?
Yeah.
3 to 5 years? 5 to 10?
Yeah. Three to five. More fair.
Justin. Now, if Detroit is able to zoom up and grab whoever it is, and you go, oh boy, Detroit's got a lot of talent, and they're getting better. They may make the playoffs this year.
Can't get there without that quarterback. You have talent on both ends of on the offense and defense. Or if they just had a quarterback that they could believe in. This is nothing against Goff, man. I'm just saying that.
And he put 40 points on the board yesterday.
It could be better than that, though, right? If you could.
So what if all of a sudden you're like, wow, they traded up to, we didn't want to trade with them, but they got the number 3 pick. And they got Bryce Young or CJ or whoever it is.
I'm just tamping down the expectations because I want the Bears to excel.
I agree.
Listen, it's also fine to say something against Goff. Nobody's going to hurt you for that. That last throw on the fade route against Buffalo when they had a chance to win, it looked like he threw left-handed.
It's true. All right, what else do you have?
Hoodie, you mentioned in the last hour, I talked about the play calling. I'm going to talk about it again. Luke Getsy came under fire for his late game play calling yesterday. Up 16-10 on the 9-yard line. Bears went wildcat. 10-yard holding penalty. That was followed up by a 5-yard loss on a run play, and they ultimately settled for a field goal. And then again, after the 49-yard catch by N'Keal Harry, Bears went screen, lost 2 yards. Run from the Packer 30, settled for a field goal attempt that was blocked. When you couple this with the final drive in Atlanta being 2 run plays to start the drive, shot or no shot, Luke Getsy's late game play calling is a legitimate problem.
I would have to know, was because Justin said, didn't he say something in the post game? I was listening to it at work. Did he not say something about, yeah, I was not putting my shoulder down, or I was not going to do that with my shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how hampered Luke was, Getsy, I'm talking, how hampered he was on his play card. I can't call that. All right, try that.
I just didn't like three running plays in a row after a splash play down the field. I just watched too many games around the NFL that has more imagination than that.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I mean, than that, Cap, and this is not just once, but twice.
Yeah, I would just like to know, Luke, what was the deal there? Well, I couldn't use Justin in an RPO because his shoulder was sore. We didn't want to take a chance.
Wouldn't that contradict everything that he's told us all season? Where, like, if you can play, you're going to play the way that helps us win.
Yeah, but stuff could change during the game.
Mm-hmm.
He could get dinged and, hey, he's going to finish the game, but don't put him in any of those situations.
Because look at how many running plays did Justin have in the second half.
Yeah, very few.
Okay.
Correct. So I'd have to know. I would love to. He's not going to answer it, but I would like back channel to find out.
So, well, we have to answer the question. So I would say, just based on yesterday's game and a few others that we've had this year, I would say shot to that. But again, this goes along with my narrative that Luke Getsy has to learn too as offensive play caller.
No doubt.
Got to learn too. Like, I've seen the mistakes. Again, to me, it's both things. He's got to be able to learn to be a better play caller. The players have to execute. And then hopefully better players that Justin Fields can work with so those plays are executed.
I would also like to know from Tommy Waddle, who was an outstanding receiver, what Equanimeous St. Brown didn't do on the interception in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you have the audio of Justin on it and Eberflus, and we'll hear it. But I would like to know from a guy who did this for a living, what should he have done that he didn't do? Text me, Tommy.
So, is that a shot or no shot to his question?
That is a shot until I see differently. Again, I need to ask him, Luke, were your hands tied because the doctors or the trainers said you can't do that?
You know what sucks? Can't hear from that guy until Thursday.
Correct.
Can't hear from Getsy until Thursday, like correct. All the way to Thursday. Well, you know, if you're the press, you won't forget that.
I hope.
Yeah, they won't forget that.
He'll put you won't hear from him this Thursday because it's bye week.
So is it tomorrow? Is he not going to speak at all?
They're off. Everybody's off. I don't know if you're going to get any access this week.
I still put it in my phone then to ask him next time I see him. Like,
right.
I still would wonder about some of this
stuff. That's a week from Thursday.
He's going to zoom in to talk about it from Cabo.
I'd be glad to get his answer for sure. All right, hey, coming up next, we're going to hear from Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus. Some of the questions that we have the answers for you right here. Coming up next, it will be Courtney Cronin at 8:35 with the latest on the Bears on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on a Bears Monday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with you till 10. Then Mike Greenberg comes in with his Jets thoughts coming up at 10. Carmen and Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvia at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6. Freddie and Fitzsimmons 8 to midnight. All part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000.
By the way, we were talking about the Lions in the division because I think the Bears and the Lions both have bright futures.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings are solid right now. Green Bay's going to need to add more talent as well. The Lions schedule, they're home with Minnesota, definitely winnable, at the Jets, at Carolina, home with the Bears, and at Green Bay. They're 5-7. They could easily, of the last five games, they could win four of those. I'm not saying they will. Yeah, they're taking a big step.
Lions?
The Lions.
You trying to work in sports radio in Detroit?
Yeah, I'm going to do the Mike Valenti show with them.
You want to do that? I think that'd be good.
I'm just telling you.
Okay. Keep pushing the narrative about how good the Lions are. That's good.
They've got talent, man.
On the Bears Monday here on ESPN 1000.
It's just they better hit in the draft. You better not get Kevin White and Leonard Floyd and Mitch Trubisky. You better hit.
Some thoughts now for Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. His message to the team, despite the losing streak.
It's the message that's going to be if we win, lose, or draw every single week. I'm going to tell them the same thing, just like I want to say to you right now. It's get back to work tomorrow. I know we got the bye week. Coaches are going to get to you with three things you can get better at, and you're going to look at that during the course of the bye week and come back and then get better. And we'll have our eyes forward moving to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Three things. What do you think those three things are, Cap? Three things.
You got to get better at getting separation for the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Got to be better in pass protection, although I thought the offensive line played a very solid game yesterday. That's two. And you got to stop the run.
Mm. Well, you can't have the hits principle without the SHI, and you know the rest. Here's Eberflus on the defense played against Rodgers.
You know, I thought our game plan was good for the defensive coaches. I thought they did a nice job of putting it together. We looked at, doing some different things, up front. And I thought that really worked well in the run game. Obviously, when you give up 48 yards at the end and on a run, on a jet sweep, that doesn't help your stats. But I would say they did a good job. We got to finish better.
Yeah, I mean, it's what it comes down to is being able to finish. Yes, the Bears did do a good job, and yes, they were flying around and were active out there. We mentioned Jack Sanborn and his play. But imagine next year what this looks like defensively. You say all you want about Justin Fields. We know that he drives the bus, and his conversation drives the bus in this station, in this city, because we want to know what's next with him. But you're not winning anything without making stops. Or getting to the quarterback. So you're going to go through this game here. A guy with busted ribs, okay? No takeaways and no sacks. That what you're going to do? That's exactly what happened with this Bears defense yesterday. No takeaways, no sacks.
Correct. Got no pressure on him.
And no pressure.
None.
A guy with bad ribs.
Correct.
See?
That's why it's a long, long way away. We could say Luke Getsy this and they didn't finish that. They are a long way away. That's why I brought up the Lions. That's what's so concerning. Because, like Jalen Carter, your guy?
Yep.
He's a beast. He's the three technique that you need to stop the run. Number 88 from Georgia. Watch him in the playoffs. That guy's incredibly good. But if I dropped him on the roster, who's getting to the quarterback?
All right.
He's a run stuffer and he collapses the pocket. Travis Gibson, has he even been active? I haven't heard his name. Dominique Robinson, we had people writing in week three. Boy, this is the steal of the draft. Where's he been?
Mm-hmm.
Got to get the next Roquan and next Robert Quinn and next Khalil Mack. We don't have any of those guys.
We have the next Roquan, to be fair.
Jack Sanborn.
Oh.
So.
Oh!
You need more at linebacker, you need more in the secondary, and you need an overhaul of your front four.
And Jack Sanborn.
We got Sanborn.
He'll have a show here next year, right here on ESPN 1000.
The Jack Sanborn Show.
Cannot wait for that. So Justin Fields, this is what we've been waiting for, right? Justin Fields, quarterback for the Bears.
Yeah.
Had a number of things to say, and don't forget, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35 with the latest on the Bears, especially their injuries. Fields, what happened on that first interception? Justin said,
Just a dig route. I think 23 made a great play on that play. BQ was underneath him, but I mean, at that point, once you throw that ball, you anticipate the throw, and then boom, he jumped it. And then really at that point, you just like to see the receiver, come back to the ball. We always just try to tell the receivers that, those DBs are going to, they want that pick each and every time. So they're going to attack that ball. So, yeah, that's just a, timing throw. Anticipated throw, and I think 23 just made a good play on that.
He did make a good play, but EQ St. Brown, at best, is a special teamer and practice squad guy on a good team.
Correct.
Sorry.
Or the number six receiver on your roster.
Just not good, Cap. Just not good.
Good blocker, but as a receiver? Come on.
I love the big catch that he made, 56 yards, which was awesome. He was targeted four times. Look, it's so disappointing because St. Brown and Pettis and Harry, these guys have to know, dude, you're not going to be around here next year. Sorry, you're just not going to be. So put some good tape together. Make some plays. Because it's really about the next paycheck and the next team. When this team's good, these guys are not going to be on this roster. So why not play hard enough or play hard for a guy that's got a busted wing in Justin Fields and bust your ass and try to make some plays, for God's sakes.
Agreed.
You know your team's not going anywhere, so now ultimately it is about you. And I hate the selfishness about sports, but this is what it is. Hey, you're 3-10. Make some plays. for you and your family.
Now, N'Keal Harry made a hell of a play on that deep ball. That was a hell of a catch.
Right. It was awesome. He was targeted once. He got what he got.
Too few and far between.
You know, but like the Pettises of the world, you're not going to be around here. Make some plays. Do it for that guy. If you don't care about anything else, do it for Justin. Do it for yourself. In this situation, when you're 3-10, you think you're trying to battle for a roster spot? You guys won't be around here next year. That's it. A lot of these plays are difference between a win and a loss.
Agreed.
That's frustrating to watch when you know the team's no good, and then you got to play like St. Brown. He rewarded you with a 56-yard passing play. You can't get in front of them and make sure you get that catch in that spot?
Or at least knock it down. That was the other thing. Eberflus spoke about it as well. I mean, they're not trying to criticize the guy. They're just telling facts.
How's your legs?
I felt like I was moving kind of slow, to be honest with you, but felt good. Great way to come back from a week off to get the game started, so felt good. Felt all right. Shoulder held up pretty good. On Demo's touchdown, I had to, like, push Kenny Clark down, so that's the only play that I got aggravated on, and then kind of messed up my hand, like, second quarter. I think it was before halftime, or it was either second quarter or early third quarter. But, I'm good, though.
That's from Justin Fields. He says he's good.
He's good. I'm good, though.
So, a great conversation yesterday. Because, and we'll talk to Alex Brown about this coming up at 9 o'clock right here on Cap and Jay Hood. There are some, like Alex Brown, that feel like Justin shouldn't have played yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Alex would not play him at all.
Right. I think that's it. My thought coming into last week, and we talked about this. It's like, Justin Fields didn't have to prove anything else to me.
Agreed.
And I don't know if it was Aaron Rodgers saying, yeah, I'm going to play. I got a bad ribs, but we'll make sure to tape it up and we're ready to go. I wonder, was there a reaction from Justin saying, wait, if Rodgers is playing, then I'm going to play? Because we kept hearing from Eberflus saying if the young man's going to decide if he's going to play or not.
Hold on. Once he got cleared by the doctors.
Hold on a second. So let's get into that old doctor conversation as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the doctors say, well, Justin seems like he's okay, good enough to play. We'll make sure that he's okay. Like, he didn't have to play for me, Cap. We were talking about, Tim Boyle?
Right, he was inactive. He's on the roster now.
Tim Boyle.
Off the Lions practice squad who spent 2 years with Green Bay, so he knows the Getsy play system.
So not Tom Dorr.
Not Tom Dorr.
Okay.
It's actually the kid from Billy Madison, the O'Doyle Rules.
Is that the guy? Exactly. Is that what it was? Like,
yeah, that's the guy.
That's what we're talking about. Remember early last week we were talking about, is that going to be the quarterback? I wonder, was there a reaction there? From Rodgers saying yes to Fields saying, okay, I'll go. I wonder.
I don't think so. I think he was playing either way because that's who Justin is. He's a competitor. Yeah, every turn he's had. When he was injured in college, I'm not sitting out. I'm playing. And he does. And everybody says he is a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was playing either way if he got medically cleared. That was the only way. And I said to you, I would send him to Mexico, have a good vacation. I was kidding, but yes. I wouldn't play him unless the doctor said he's cleared to play. That's the only way.
I wasn't concerned about his left side. I just didn't want it to be re-aggravated to the point where he couldn't play at all, where it would give him a huge setback. That was my concern. I knew the right arm was strong because the injury was not on the right side. It was on the left side.
Correct.
So I would just... Obviously, I like to put him under glass to make sure that he's okay.
Right.
But if he wants to play, that's fine. It's up to him and the doctors.
Right. Once the doctors clear him, then it's his call. Coach, I can go.
Southside Q's on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Q.
Q Dog.
We're going on Cap. We're going on Jay Hood.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm calling because, you know, I love Justin Fields. Like I said, he's perfect. He's our quarterback. But what I'm disgusted and embarrassed about is our defensive line, everybody talking about the offensive line. The Packers' offensive line was toying with our defensive line. We couldn't get past them if we wanted to. I mean, you had an injured Aaron Rodgers, and we couldn't get to him for nothing. I mean, I was just watching. I was like, what are they doing? Were they just all dancing together or what? Because they couldn't get to that backfield even if they was trying their best. It was ridiculous. If I was the Bears, and free agency-wise, I'd have been looking at all the defensive lines. I would have been looking at the Dallas Cowboys line because some of them are going to be up for free agency. I've been looking at all the defensive lines who's going to be free agent, not just the draft. Because our defensive line was embarrassing yesterday. They embarrassed the 2008 Bears. They embarrassed the 2006 Bears because just the fifth line is horrible.
Yeah, just not getting to the quarterback.
But that's what happens. Q, thanks for the call. When you trade Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn to quality Pro Bowl, and in Khalil's case, All-Pro defensive linemen, and then let Akeem Hicks walk out the door? Come on. You didn't replace those guys. That's why, again, going back to people that thought, this team can win 8, 9, 10 ball games. We even heard 11. Are you crazy?
Courtney Cronin on the Bears, brought to you by Wintrust, next on Cap and J-Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C!
Bears insider and Irish dancer.
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap and J-Hood.
Coming up, we'll hear from Alex Brown at 9 o'clock. Right now, we hear from Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust Bank. Courtney covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. Also, here are on ESPN Radio, and she joins us here on ESPN 1000. Courtney, thanks so much for joining us. Give us your overall thoughts on Justin Fields. Where do you place this performance versus others from Justin?
I think it was his most complete game, and I think most will attest to it. I mean, certainly he will. When I asked him that, he thought it was his best game as a passer by far, even though there's the two interceptions in the fourth quarter that will bring down his passer rating, and if you're looking at the overall numbers, you don't see a passing touchdown. But the completion percentage, the QBR, all of that stuff matters, I think, when you're trying to build something with this guy. And seeing him make some anticipatory throws, throw the 50-50 ball, which have we not been begging to see that for a really long time now, to give guys
Correct.
A chance and to go and put that ball up there and say, I'm trusting you, N'Keal Harry, to come down with that. Use your skill set as a jump ball, as the best jump ball receiver that they have to do that. That's exactly what we've been wanting to see. So this whole notion that after the bye week, because we weren't sure about the shoulder and all of that, that okay, those final four games were where they were going to start to utilize him as a passer more and put him in situations where he could win from the pocket. We got an early glimpse at that. And so I think as far as his performance is concerned, certainly there are things he needs to do to be able to finish games himself. There was another game-winning drive that they failed at executing. But by and large, this was a really good performance from Justin Fields, and he's not – I think that it's short-sighted to say that he's the reason that they lost that game yesterday.
So when you look at the play with Equanimeous St. Brown in the end zone, Justin, he didn't throw him under the bus, but he kind of did. Eberflus also talked about it. What was your takeaway from their answers about that interception?
Yeah, I definitely understand where you're coming from on that, Cap, because I was having a conversation with somebody in the press box afterwards about the bus throwing, that it sounded like that, at least to me. I picked up on it right away. And so he was supposed to run a dig route. That's at least what Fields was anticipating, and I've watched the replay of that. That is not a dig route. I don't know what he was running on that. But the thing that Matt Eberflus said that kind of goes back to what we were talking about, that 50-50 ball, and the trust element that goes with a throw like that, he said that, you know, the frustrating part of that and everything that like came down to it, is that's a throw that they wanted him to make. That's a trust throw. And that's one that he had been ripping throughout the game before. That's something where your receiver has to adjust to the ball better. Like that, I think, is what it boils down to with St. Brown, where, you know, it's not just that Jaire Alexander jumped the route really well. He did. But there's stuff that the receiver can do on that play to adjust to the ball better that maybe Equanimeous St. Brown, I don't know, maybe he's not that guy that you should be trusting to do that. And I'm not, I think Fields like was staring him down. I think that was a pretty obvious thing that you could tell even from, I was watching the replay of it. Like, he was locked in on Equanimeous St. Brown. That was his progression. That's where he was going first. And he never backed off of that. So if you don't think that your receiver can do those things, then I don't think you throw that ball. But it was, like, playing devil's advocate here, that's the type of throw that they were wanting him to make for so long, and he finally did it. you just hope that, like, he can continue to have confidence that his receivers will do their job with it too and adjust to it. And, you know, even Eberflus was talking about that following the game, that they want to see him make those throws. It's on everybody, though, to make sure that those throws are complete.
I know it's become the no-name defense for this Bears team, but I thought, and Cap would agree, that the team was really moving around, making some good plays through the first three quarters. What was your takeaway from what you saw from the defense overall against Green Bay?
I think that up until the point where there was the Watson touchdown before the end of the first half, they were holding their own. I mean, they had to stop in the red zone, held them to a field goal. Jalen Jones is filling in for Kendall Vildor. Kyler Gordon's not out there. Jaquan Brisker's not out there. Frankly, I thought the defense did, at least on the back end of the defense, that they did a pretty good job. And there's a lot that you can build on with that when you get guys back from concussion protocol after the bye. Hopefully everybody's not injured anymore and can come back. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to pick on rookie DBs. And I talked to Jalen Jones about this after the game, about the experience of that. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I expected because I saw it happen to Kyler Gordon in week two. We all did. And there's a learning experience when you're thinking about who's going to be part of your DB depth for next year. And I think Jalen Jones has made a good case for himself because he played pretty well. That DPI, I mean, the flag came from the other side of the field. I would get frustrated by that too. But there's some good moments in there. The thing that just continues to be the story with this defense, though, zero sacks, zero passes defended, you know, obviously everywhere, but zero quarterback hits too. Like, there's just no pressure up front. And I think now that we're at the bye week, it's a good time to evaluate what this team needs to do in the offseason for real. Like, starting to know the names, know the prospects that you need to look at in the draft, know the players that are available in free agency, and that's where the focus needs to shift to, especially when it comes to the defense, because this unit, I'm not so sure how many players up front are going to be there next year. I'm really not, because it's schematically an issue, but it's also a talent gap issue up front.
So watching the game yesterday, there were some curious coaching decisions. The timeout with, what'd you say, yeah, Shea? 23 seconds left?
That's yeah, right.
23.
Before the fourth and four.
Yes.
And Eberflus says,
Just to force their hand. You know, right there, you force their hand. It's fourth and four, I think it was. Is that right? You know, so just trying to force their hand and make them make a decision.
Okay, I didn't understand that one. I would have, and I said this before the play, not after, Courtney, I would not have tried the field goal that got blocked. I would have gone for it on fourth and five. Was Luke Getsy's curious play calling in the second half affected by Justin's shoulder?
I don't think it was the shoulder at all. I just think that this is something that's kind of become a trend where they get too conservative in moments where they shouldn't. That third and five, like after, I think it was the Cole Kmet catch on third and 10. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the drive that ended in the block field goal.
Yep.
Why are they running on third and one or third and five? And that's a 1 yard gain. And again, like we were talking about, like bus throwing sort of moments. Like that was one where Fields, like, yeah, he hit the hole, just needs to hit it harder. Like, I didn't like that play call. I don't think anybody did, because you're taking the ball out of Justin's hands at a time where he's, you know, performing really, really well as a passing quarterback. And that's just kind of a precarious moment. And we won't get to hear from Luke Getsy on that this week because of the bye. But that's one I think that's going to come up today, because you just have to think about taking the temperature of the offense in that moment and thinking, why was it a smart thing to run the ball there? It wasn't. It's not like you're catching them off guard, because very clearly they were ready for it. It just didn't make a lot of sense. And so I'm not so sure about that one. And I think some of the play calls from later in the game, it's almost like they got too conservative for their own good, and they were playing not to lose instead of trying to win the game.
Courtney, what's the latest on the injuries with the Bears?
Kari Blasen game was the interesting one, because he got sick apparently Saturday. He had an illness, and that's why he couldn't play. And it's, you know, you think, oh, it's just your fullback, right? Like, but no, it was a big deal, because Trayvon Wesco had to play in that game, and he gets hurt. And that's why they're using Michael Schofield as the extra lineman. So the domino effect there was pretty noticeable. The one that we need to monitor is Chase Claypool, because I saw him in the locker room after the game. He still had that brace on his knee. We didn't get to speak with him, because he was getting treatment, and then by the time he came out, the locker room had closed. But that, I don't know, I watched the replay of that. I was honestly surprised that he was able to come back in at all because of the way his knee bent. But that's one, that's probably the biggest one coming out of yesterday's game that's going to benefit the most, hopefully, from the bye and being able to give him some time to come back. But, you know, I'm as surprised as anybody when Justin Fields talks about his shoulder that the only time he ever really felt it get aggravated was when he was blocking for David Montgomery and you know, he kind of went head-on with Kenny Clark. That's the only, I mean, I think anybody would feel their shoulder get aggravated when they're going against a mammoth human being like that. But that's a good sign. It's a good sign that Justin didn't, like, you know, hurt it yesterday or make the injury worse.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Courtney. See you, Double C.
It is Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust, giving us the latest on the Chicago Bears. Were you there at Soldier Field? Our very own Shay Norling was there. He gives us a report from the spaceship. Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Thank you, Greg Morin, the LSU Tiger, the Bengal. Giving me my crown royal after Georgia gets the job done against his LSU Tiger.
Correct.
50-30.
They pounded him.
Thank you very much. Getting the job done. Thank you, Greg. Greg pays off his bets. Went right over and got me my crown royal. See what happens there, Cap? That's how you treat the number one team in the country. Bam.
There you go.
Right there.
By the way, Gregory Thomas Waddle. You catch him on the Waddle and Sylvie Show 2-6. I asked him to text in about the EQ Brown interception.
Yeah, I think he blocked me. He didn't send me anything.
He sent it to me.
Oh, I see.
Let me digest it because it's a lengthy screed, and then I will give it to you.
Okay.
Okay.
How about Shea's thoughts about Soldier Field?
How about that moribund
stadium? What a dump, man. My God.
You've never been there, right?
No, this was my first Bear game, and I enjoyed myself at the game.
Brother.
It was an enjoyable game to watch, honestly, but holy smoke. I mean, at halftime, one, the seat was, I mean, you talk about cramped. Those stairs, I was up in orbit, so the stairs in the upper deck, holy steep. And then you got to go to the bathroom, God forbid, at halftime. You got to walk through a riot to get to the urinal.
Well, that's Soldier Field, my friend. And you talk about the seats. You got to butter your hips in there to get comfortable, especially those seats up top.
You're with your dad, right?
Yeah, and it was like plastic boards. I'd rather sit on a bench.
What did he think of it?
He enjoyed himself. He didn't know better. But everybody, and they're like, well, why do they want to move him out of downtown so bad? And then at halftime, we all get up to go to the bathroom, and then everybody like meets back at the seats because you all get separated. You literally have to walk through a riot to go to the urinal. Mm-hmm. And we all get back to the seats, and I sit down, and they all go, no wonder they want to move out of downtown so bad.
See that? See? And what about the amenities? How'd you think of the amenities around Soldier Field?
Excuse me?
Exactly. I just want to get, people who've never been there, paint
nice
that picture.
Is there
nice
a kiosk or something?
Yeah, get a nice little walk through the park, a nice view of the Metro. It's great. Amenities around Soldier Field. You know what I liked was all the guys selling liquor out of a cooler.
Right, and that's why I said when the mayor came out, the current mayor, and said, we want to put a dome on it. It's a dump, so it's a domed dump.
Right.
That's it.
Right. She had no clue.
No clue.
No clue of understanding how powerful the National Football League is.
Why don't you just worry about beating the Packers? Why don't you just worry about knowing on your legacy you let the Bears leave?
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
But she did not understand the power of the NFL.
She did not.
If the NFL wants to put another team in to that dump, they will. If the NFL wants the Bears, will kind of ask the Bears, don't you want to be in a better stadium? So because you're a world-class city, you're in our top three market, don't you want to move?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. They'll say yes. And how high? Jump and how high?
Correct.
That's what the NFL does. So I mean, she had no understanding. She just thought that the Bears would be here forever. And, you know, it's just time for a change. Shea Norling goes there with his dad and has a horrible time. Think about it.
No, we had a good time. I mean, we walked through the colonnades. There's nothing better, man.
I mean, just the worst, man.
I went to Atlanta, the stadium down there, and I'm going to SoFi this weekend.
Oh.
And I've been to Soldier Field now a few times. I mean, it's after going to Mercedes, because I was at the game yesterday, too. After going to Mercedes-Benz as my last stadium and then going into Soldier Field, holy smokes, what a difference.
Guy's a freaking world traveler back there.
I don't listen to this guy.
But at least we know for sure that Shea and Charlie, they both touched the sky yesterday.
Well, yeah. One, I was seated in the on the surface of the moon. And then, but it's like I went to Lambeau earlier in the year. Fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. And when I go to Lambeau, I'm sitting in row 50. You know, Lambeau's a bowl, so it's a gradual incline. Row 50, you still feel like you're close to the field. Soldier, I'm in section 430. I'm on the surface of the sun trying to watch this game.
Jeez. Shay and I each sent a picture. It looks like we both took a picture from a satellite.
I mean, that shows you where you are, though,
you're
man.
You're so far.
You're up in that the blimp.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is why I said at the time, Cap, when we start to hear rumblings of a new stadium, here's the dream: to be in a dome stadium. Bears weather. Screw that. Get out of here. There's no Bears weather. When a team from the West Coast beats your ass, it's not Bears weather.
Correct.
It's just the team's just better. I just want to be able to just pull up, thank you, sir, take my ticket, park in my spot. 75 degrees inside. Leave my coat in the car.
Yep, leave the coat in the car. Mindy?
Just walk over to my seat. Oh, there's places to eat, maybe a place to gamble on my phone. I'll be able to do those things nice and comfortable.
Correct.
Bears football. I have no problem with that. We had to turn Shea around on that because he grew up around dome football all of his life and said, boy, it should be good to be outside. Not there. Not at Soldier Field.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
This is why we want it flipped. Like, we want that convenience.
Lambeau, the Packers, never should be inside. They should stay outside. That should be what it is. Like, a lot of college football around the country should always be outdoors. Here, I'm good. Put it under a dome. That was awful.
Somebody tell you about Bears weather, punch them in the face. That's how you do that. How about that? By the way, sidebar, Mayor Brooks.
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law. $3,126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Semi-ball. Are you looking up Jordans over there on your computer?
No.
I have a stack of the Nike ad of Jordans here. The Dunk High Retro. All your shoes are right here. Have you been looking that up on your side?
No, I don't have any of those.
These are, you have any of these shoes?
No.
You have the Dunk High Retro.
Not. I do not.
On my TV, when I see you, I see those shoes.
I don't have any. Like, I want the Carolina Blues. I do not have any.
Yeah, I just see a whole bunch of Nike ads here on my computer here. I thought, Cap's looking for a nice deal.
Abdallah has the best collection at the station.
No kidding.
Yes. By far. Abdallah is the sneakerhead of the station by a mile. That guy's brilliant at that stuff.
I'm going to come in with my Carolina Blues tomorrow, Cap, so you can take a look at them.
What size do you wear?
I'm a 10.
Oh, 10 and a half. I always had to tackle you.
Coming up, we hear from the great Alex Brown. His thoughts about the Bears and their loss against the Green Bay Packers. 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood. All right, here we go.